Welcome to the Heart for God podcast. With many years of experience pastoring and helping to start churches, Dr. Jim Townsley has some practical and biblical advice that can be a great help to you and your ministry. On this podcast, Dr. Townsley and other guests with special expertise cover a variety of topics. His goal is to help you lead your church to be a healthy, strong, and balanced ministry, and for your family to be happy, healthy, and living for the Lord.
Welcome to the podcast today. I'm glad you joined us. I have with me today Evangelist John Barnes, and he's certainly well known throughout the New England, Northeast area, and had a variety of experiences, particularly working with young people. Back in the days of International Baptist College, he was on staff there. He now is the director for New England Baptist Camp, and he goes around to churches as an evangelist and helping in church planning. So, Brother Barnes, it's good to have you with me today.
Thank you.
I appreciate your work with young people. I'll talk a little bit about where we're at with our young people today and what the needs are and what the problems are.
Thank you, Pastor Townsley. It's a joy to be here. I appreciate you and the great ministry here at Central and the college. And, I've certainly got a huge burden for the young people and us trying to reach them again with the gospel and the will of God for their lives.
So let me ask a couple of questions. The culture does change, and I know age changes. You know, we're a bit older. I'm older than you, but you're no spring chicken either. So
yes, sir.
You've certainly been around a little bit, but we are out of tune a little bit with young people because we're not young people. We're not. But it seems like there are cultural changes of young people from the time when we were young people. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, sir. And you say you add the dynamic of, not to make excuses or blame, but you add the dynamic of COVID, and what I've seen just all over the Northeast is the huge gut punch that many, from a church perspective, I think there's several things to consider, the home, the church, and so on and so forth, but from the church perspective, the gut punch that churches took all over, especially what we see being very involved with a lot of churches in the Northeast, just youth groups just get absolutely annihilated, and from the repercussions, or however you want to word that, with going through COVID and the situation there. So yeah, it definitely is a change in the dynamic of it, no doubt about it.
One of my concerns, and I know it's your concern, is churches now can't find pastors. They can't find full-time Christian workers, and some of our Bible colleges are trying to keep their enrollment up and have sort of evolved from the day of just mainly a Bible college for preachers and full-time workers and expanding to liberal arts or vocational studies, and which is all right. You know, we need that as well. But it seems like there's a great deficit of young people going into ministry.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt about it. We and as we've talked about before, I've never personally seen it on this fashion, where we, of course, went through, as we were endeavoring to enter into evangelism, we made it, we announced it to our church, and when in a day, 20, 30 years ago, a church could have anywhere from possibly 6 to 8 to 10 candidates, you know, for a church to consider them. Not that a church would want to compare the 6 or 8 to 10 to each other, but I've just never seen it on this fashion where we now have, there's not even, you know, 2 or 3 names that many times can be provided with, you think, as you know, of the churches around New England that are still looking for a pastor. And there's always, we always had the situation where churches need pastors. We understand that, but there's no doubt about it. We are at such a place where there's not even 1, 2, or 3 to even be an option for some churches, which, again, as you said in the beginning, reveals to us all the more that either we know that it's not that God's not calling people. It's, you know, where are we at with those that are answering the call? You know, you have the situation of colleges that if they, you know, they're adding more of a liberal arts program to try to not to just keep students, but to provide those avenues, then we have even less and less that are answering that call to full-time ministry, or and especially the pastorate and in the ministry. And so then you have that situation where there's just they're not there. And so I've just personally never seen it on this fashion as we're seeing it today, no doubt about it.
So what is the problem? Why are there fewer young people surrendering the ministry or interest in the ministry?
Well, there's several things that I've thought of that I, in my analysis and my considering, and not just to find things that we want to correct or disagree with, but when there is a real yearning in our hearts to recognize, A, where we're at, okay, two, yeah, B, how did we get here, and then C, or three, more importantly, what do we do differently? But, you know, you have the issue of where, and I've thought of this several times, especially over the last couple of years, where we almost find ourselves being more apologetic to our young people and our youth groups that, now, God may not call you, but, you know, but if he does, and I think shame on us on that, and we don't need to swing the pendulum, and it should never have been and never should be a manipulation of spiritual leaders, whether in the home or in the church, for kids to feel obligated. But at the same time, I think we came to a place where we almost carried ourselves in a more apologetic fashion. That I don't know if that makes sense what I'm saying to you. It's like, you know, now God may not call you, but if you don't, then you should be a faithful servant for the Lord. And I believe if God doesn't call somebody to full-time Christian service, then they should be absolutely 100% in and serving the Lord in whatever vocation God calls them. So I think in the issue, so one of the problems is from the spiritual leadership in the church, I think we've got to get back to casting the burden and the need to our young people. Again, kindly, lovingly, you know, not in their face, but we've got to see it again for what it is and be willing to cast it to our young people so that they can see it while they're young, the need that is there. So it starts, I believe, there from in the church, start with us pastors, youth leaders, Sunday school teachers and leaders in the church. You know, I don't remember Clifford Clark. I heard him years ago. He's from Oklahoma. Years ago, he made this statement, and so I don't know if he's the one that originated it, but he said, you know, God doesn't call everybody to the foreign mission field, but every Christian should struggle with the possibility, you know. And again, this is, we're talking about the need in New England. But I think part of the problem is we are permeating this atmosphere where it's almost apologetic. And then we're dealing with the challenge of the culture and society all, you know, dangling so much. And again, that, I'm sure that was already there. It was always there. But so much more in front of these young people with the possibilities of making money. You know, I just said at a missions conference last week that I think one of the greatest principles we can teach our children, instill in our children, is eternal priorities. Eternal priorities. And so from the church perspective, I think we as spiritual leaders have to do a better job anew and afresh in casting the burden and the vision. And then I think in the home, mom and dad have got to be willing again to, if they're not, to teach our young people, have eternal values. You know, you focus on God's big world and let God take care of your little world. And I think, you know, some of those things have gotten opposite, unfortunately, in the church, in the home. I think those are the two great avenues that God's given to us. You know, the home, the Christian home, and then the local church. And so we've got to look at it as leadership and say, we've got to do some things different. We've got to do some things better.
So there's the need. I mean, there's churches, they can't find pastors now. Their missionaries are resigning, stepping down, and passing on to glory. And it's hard to find enough people to replace what we've got, let alone expand, start more churches, and add to our base. But then there's the other side of the coin, too. I wonder how many young people one day are going to look back at their life and say, well, I missed the opportunity to serve the Lord. I didn't find God's highest calling for my life. And I think every young person needs to stop and think about that. How can I make my life worthwhile? How can I make a difference? Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah. And again, I think some of that comes back to not so much how we're structuring it, but how we're presenting that. Like you said, how are we presenting this to these young people to see that, again, endeavoring to instill eternal priorities, you know, having a heavenly view and not a worldly view, you know, of their opportunity. I agree with you. Yes, sir. I agree.
Certainly, there's young people surrendering, and there are young men starting churches, and there are certainly young men and ladies that are getting involved in the ministry, but it does seem like there's a deficit, not as many as used to be, and maybe part of it's a lack of strong churches and healthy churches that and maybe we've lacked the vision that we need. Are we short-sighted? Sometimes you a pastor saying, "Well, I don't want to lose these young people. They're my best people in the church," but to send them out and get them training and being willing to let them go. I mean, that's an act of faith and trust that God will bring in other people. But I think it's very short-sighted, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and all of this really, it's interesting. It comes back to this, the spiritual leadership, having the philosophy, like you said, of it, really you benefit your church more by embracing sending them out, because God's pleased with that, God honors that, and it does. It comes back to, I think, the philosophy in the church, unfortunately, at times is, like you said, so short-sighted that, our fear is we're more worried about who we're going to lose and how is it going to affect our attendance. And out of that, it almost sounds immature to say that, but those are the reality of things that, you know, and you take a young or a small church in New England, and if they think, you know, if they have 30 to 40 or 50 people, they're thinking, boy, if I lose this family or that family, I don't even know if we're going to make it. And so I think a lot of this, I really do, I think it comes back to the spiritual leadership coming back to the place where our philosophy is right, like you said, you know, and we are embracing the value of them going out and starting churches around us. But again, we have all these issues of we don't have the church planters, we don't have this. And so I agree with you. I think we've got to fix our philosophy. And none of this is, you know, we're not changing anything because we're straining at a gnat. We're getting back to the biblical patterns in God's word of Paul permeated that atmosphere in Timothy. He showed him with clarity the awesomeness of the will of God and walk worthy of the vocation. That wasn't Timothy, but to the church, I think at Ephesus, you know, walk worthy of the vocation with your call. Then this is a holy calling. To know and do the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do it is the greatest achievement. So I agree.
Yeah, the early church was the pattern we're supposed to be following, and that was clear. They were sending people out. They were going everywhere. So our vision that is short-sighted is probably going to affect us locally as well. If that's the spirit and the mentality the local church has, well, let's keep everybody we've got rather than let's send people out to the ends of the earth, probably it's going to affect the church. The church is going to die. It's going to become stagnant, wouldn't you think?
It would. And so we've got to really be spiritually mature as spiritual leaders to care more about the longevity of the cause of Christ and not just how it does while we're there. And that those are really, you're really mentioning things that we really need to get back to in spiritual leadership. I agree with you. Yes, sir.
Well, it seems like we have more questions than answers, but it is a need. It is an issue we need to pray about. And, you know, our Lord only gave one prayer request. It's only one recorded in the Bible.
Yes.
And he said, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest." That was his one prayer request. And that's something every church needs to keep in mind, that we ought to be praying that our best will be laborers, whether it be in our own church or to the ends of the earth. We need laborers, people who get involved and give their life to the ministry. And to me, it would be very sad to think I could have wasted my life in a secular world and missed all the opportunity God's given me in the ministry. I haven't missed anything. I have gained everything.
Yes,
so if there's any young people or young pastors that you hear this podcast, I really challenge you. Have a worldwide vision.
Yeah.
Pray for young people to surrender their lives to serve God. And pastors, pray for your own children. Prepare them that if God calls them, that they're ready to go.
Yeah, well, I like it.
Brother Barnes, thank you so much for taking this time to be with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Townsley. Thank you for your ministry. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. God bless.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. You can also follow at Dr. Townsley on Twitter or on Facebook at Jim Townsley.